Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Elemental Evan podcast. This is your host, Evan Roberts. And on this podcast, I break down health topics from a simplified and holistic approach. That way you can have some actual steps to take after every single episode and start applying the information from these episodes to your life. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about the topic of nootropics. And very specifically, there is one nootropic that is quite controversial, but definitely seems to be pretty effective as a nootropic, but definitely also has some controversy around it for a good reason. Now, before we jump into all of that, I wanted to give a little background information on things that have been going on with me personally, as well as with the Elemental Evan podcast. So for myself personally, I was just on a work trip out in Texas, which was really awesome. Got to end my trip in Austin, the beautiful city of Austin. It's such a great place, some really good food, and honestly, just a great place to spend some time. I got to reconnect with Caleb Wood, who was on this show multiple times, a good friend of mine. And I got to see all of the stuff that he's doing with his company, Keeper's Harvest, which is a local honey company out in Austin, Texas. And they source all of their honey specifically from mainly the Austin area, but also the greater Texas area. And really just trying to provide that raw local honey with all those awesome enzymes and that local pollen that's going to definitely help out with some of those seasonal allergy symptoms. So if you haven't already checked out Keeper's Harvest, please go ahead and check them out on Instagram. Check out their website. You can order. I believe they ship across the US. And yeah, they're just doing some really cool stuff. So was really excited to go see them and check out everything that's going on out there. And then in terms of the Elemental Oven podcast, I definitely have to apologize because I have had a difficult time the last couple weeks on getting some of these episodes out on time. There has been a lot of stuff going on, and so I've definitely been working on getting better at managing my time, which is honestly a little bit challenging, but it's also been great to go through this process and get better at managing my time and just keep equipping that tool belt with all these different kinds of tools to make me better at managing my time in the future. So super excited for myself getting better at managing my time. And then also I wanted to mention that I have a few ideas in the pipeline for this show in ways that I can make it better and hopefully a more enjoyable experience for all of you. So if there is anything that you would like to see more of on this show, whether it's certain topics covered, certain guests brought on, maybe more video content as well that you could view on YouTube or other platforms, please go ahead and let me know. I would love to have all of your feedback. It's very beneficial for me to check out and definitely helps me moving forward with this show and making it better for all of you. So feel free to reach out. Best way would definitely be on Instagram. That is where I'm most active. But with all of that aside, let's jump into today's topic, which is all about nootropics. So if you're unfamiliar with what a nootropic is, that's okay. The internet pretty much defines it as a brain supplement or smart drug or cognitive enhancer. So any three of those terms could literally be interchanged with nootropic. They pretty much all mean the same thing. But essentially, a nootropic or nootropics are natural, semi-synthetic, or synthetic compounds, which are reported to or believed to improve cognitive functions such as attention, memory, and mood. And in many cases, also promote cognitive health, which obviously makes sense because a healthy brain is just simply going to function better. But for me personally, there's a few specific nootropics that I really, really enjoy. I'm going to cover those in this show because I just love sharing all the stuff that I find with all of you listeners because I just want to provide that benefit to everyone. And if I can find benefit in it, hopefully you as well, you will as well. But first off, a few examples of some nootropics that you would commonly see either in like a nootropic supplement or even as just a single source ingredient promoted for its nootropic-like qualities. The first one that I'm going to mention here is also actually my favorite one of pretty much all of them. So that is lion's mane mushroom, which is a functional mushroom. It grows on, I believe they're dead trees, but they definitely grow on trees. And they do look kind of like a lion's mane, I guess, in a way. They look kind of like a hairy structure in a way. They're white. You can actually cook them and eat them as well. They make a really great meat substitute. The way that they pull apart is very much like almost like a shredded beef or a shredded pork. So a lot of times you can make lion's mane tacos out of them, which is really cool. But the way I typically consume my lion's mane mushrooms is in a tincture form or a powdered form. And I say that this is one of my favorites because lion's mane mushroom is probably one of the first nootropics that I really had experience working with. And it's also the one that has really shown the greatest benefit for me personally. I know I'm going to get into my my personal favorite nootropics a little bit later, but I'll just go ahead and share this story right now anyways. So with lion's mane mushroom, when I was in college, I decided to take lion's mane mushroom for, I think it was about 2 months. Every single day. So I believe it was both morning and night. I would take a scoop of this lion's mane powder that I had purchased. It was one that contained both fruiting body and the mycelium, which if you're unfamiliar, the mycelium is the root structure of the lion's mane or of the mushroom. And the fruiting body would be pretty much the mushroom itself, like what we typically would see growing out of the ground or off of a tree. So mine had a combination of the two of them. It was a powdered form. I just added it to a drink or a tea or a smoothie, anything like that. And I took it religiously for 2 months. And what was interesting is I definitely noticed while I was taking it that there was a benefit. And I was definitely, you know, having a better time with just kind of recalling information. I think that was one of the biggest things I noticed was I was able to recall information much quicker. It didn't take me as long to remember people's names or facts or, you know, different things I needed for my tests that I was taking in college, which was really nice to have that upper hand. But it wasn't as noticeable as when I quit taking the lion's mane mushroom. So once I had finished all of my lion's mane mushroom, it was about a day or two after that all of a sudden I just realized, like, wow, I'm really having a much harder time just recalling information as quickly. Brain fog might have been a little bit more common. And it was just much more apparent that the lion's mane mushroom was of benefit while I was taking it as opposed to when I wasn't taking it. And this is a common thing that we see with lion's mane. If you look at some of the studies with lion's mane, it does seem that while taking lion's mane, you will reap a lot of benefit from it. But the moment you stop taking lion's mane mushroom, it does seem that the benefits of lion's mane mushroom does decline. So that is kind of a bummer. However, I still take lion's mane as often as I can because it is one of those mushrooms that I know it does provide benefit. It does work for me personally. So I keep it in my daily, pretty much daily intake, I would say. It is a little expensive as with many high quality supplements. They can definitely get pretty pricey. So I do portion it out and I don't take it as religiously as I did at that time. But for that reason, lion's mane is absolutely one of my favorite nootropics. When I'm taking it, I definitely can notice a difference. It does take about a week or two for me taking it religiously to really notice the benefits of it, but it does seem to work for me. Now, a few other ones, and I'm not going to go as in-depth on these ones, I promise, but a few other common ones that you would see on the market would be things like ginkgo biloba, caffeine, fish oil, ashwagandha, methylene blue, creatine, rhodiola, and even spirulina can make its way into this category based off of its cognitive health properties. And then the one and most controversial nootropic that I'm probably going to mention on this show is going to be nicotine. And yes, I know it's a weird thing for me to be including on a health and wellness show. I'm not necessarily promoting nicotine for its health properties, but rather just simply as a nootropic. And trust me, when I first heard about nicotine as a nootropic, I was very, very skeptical. So allow me to break it down later in this show, and I will explain my experience with it and also why it's even considered a nootropic. Now, some other common like nootropics in terms of a formulated kind of pill that would contain multiple different, you know, ingredients in it or nootropic based ingredients would be things like Alpha Brain by Onnit, which is probably one of the most popular nootropics out there. Most people who are familiar with nootropics definitely know about Alpha Brain. I have tried Alpha Brain. I like it. It's not something I've taken for a super long period of time consistently, but the times that I have taken it does definitely seem like it provides a slight edge on kind of kicking the brain on and getting it into gear. I'm sure if you took it for a longer period of time, of course, you would really start to notice those benefits. But Alpha Brain is definitely one of the more popular ones. I would say the next most popular one would probably be the Qualia Mind. Qualia Mind has been around for quite a while, has a pretty extensive ingredient list on it as well. And I have also taken that one. I feel personally, and this is just my opinion, but I feel like Qualia Mind might be a little bit more effective than Alpha Brain. That's going to also really depend on the person. So that's just for me personally that I feel Qualia Mind is a little bit more effective. But out of the ones that I have taken, Qualia Mind does seem to be the better of the two. And there's also a newer brand on the market that I've been hearing a lot about, and it looks very interesting, but I just haven't had the time to do enough research on it. But it's called Thesis, and essentially you fill out a form or online, which is like, you're just saying what you're kind of looking for, what are the issues that you deal with, like, do you deal with a lot of brain fog or anxiety or, you know, blah, 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 like fill in the blank. And then they go ahead and personalize specific like nootropics for you based on what it is that you entered, which I think is a very interesting concept, and I definitely want to look more into it. But like I said, just haven't had the time. So if you have the time, go ahead and check it out. It's Thesis, like you're writing, you know, a thesis for a paper. And on top of that, if you ever see a mushroom brand, like any kind of a functional mushroom brand, you know, anything from like Four Sigmatic to, you know, fill in the blank, they'll also likely have some kind of a nootropic. And every single time they're going to have lion's mane in it for sure. 100%. Lion's mane is definitely one of those ingredients that makes its way onto a lot of these nootropic supplements. Now, for me personally, as I had already explained in terms of my favorite nootropic, you already know it's lion's mane. I really enjoy lion's mane. I believe that it really does help most people who take it. And for myself personally, I know it helps. So I'm a huge fan of lion's mane. That's one of my absolute go-tos when it comes to really trying to improve the function and health of my brain, because lion's mane also provides massive benefit for the health of your brain, but it also is really good as a nootropic. Now, on top of that, we also have other ones like methylene blue. Methylene blue is also one of my favorite nootropics to take. There is a company called Troscriptions, and I really enjoy their products. They have some really, honestly, in my opinion, some of the highest quality products in terms of nootropics. And they don't just do only nootropics. They also do other things like, I don't know, things that help you with sleep and immunity and all these different kinds of things. But what I really like about them is they're very trustworthy. All of their ingredients are of a very high quality. They have certain ingredients that are actually USP certified, which, if you're unfamiliar, USP certification is just like a gold standard in terms of, you know, quality, because it's a very stringent third-party testing. So I really like what they're about. And their methylene blue is a very high quality methylene blue. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what the heck methylene blue is, it was actually a textile dye at one point, which, once again, sounds like something that probably isn't meant to be good for you. But it turns out that methylene blue is actually quite good for you. And very specifically, it's quite good for your mitochondria. So the mitochondria, taking it back to biology here, mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell, right? They are the things that create energy. And so our brain, which has a very, very high amount of mitochondria, because it is an area of the body that uses a ton of energy, is going to receive a lot of benefit from methylene blue, because methylene blue is helping out your mitochondrial health. So it's going to, in turn, also help out the brain and help it function at a better level, provide hopefully more energy for the brain. So that is one product that I really enjoy taking, as well as methylene blue. And typically that one is going to be combined with our controversial nicotine here, but you can also take methylene blue on its own. But I'll get into the nicotine in a little bit here. And then the last two that are my favorite nootropics on, I guess you could say like the more food-based side, would be spirulina and fish oil. So fish oil has, you know, we're talking omega-3 DHA oil here and EPA oil. I don't care where you're getting the DHA and EPA oil in terms of whether it's from fish or from microalgae. I think they're both going to be beneficial. Microalgae, a lot of times that's a better option for people who are vegan or even maybe vegetarian. But if you are open to taking cod liver oil or whatever it might be, feel free to take those as well. Krill oil is another one. These are all fine forms of fish oil. You just really want to make sure that these are very reputable companies that are testing, third-party testing for any kind of contaminants that might be in the fish, especially in the fish. Typically with microalgae, seems like it's just a little bit of a cleaner process in terms of microplastics or heavy metals, things like that. And then with spirulina, I mean, spirulina and chlorella are, you already know. I mean, if you listen to this show, it's two of my favorite supplements probably in the world. I mean, I don't like to call them supplements because they are just algae, but spirulina and chlorella are awesome. They have 40 vitamins and minerals in them. They're great for your brain health. They're great for a load of other things. They have phycocyanin in your spirulina, which I think is even being studied for like fighting cancer. You have all 9 essential aminos in your spirulina. You have super high levels of chlorophyll in chlorella. They're some of my favorite supplements to take. I take them every single morning. Personally, I get that from Energy Bits. That is my personal go-to and my favorite in terms of getting spirulina or chlorella. And if you want to go ahead and check them out, please go see the description. I do have them linked there with a 20% discount code. They are a sponsor of the show, and they're just one of my favorite companies. I really, really love this stuff they put out. So anyways, spirulina, chlorella, absolutely make the list. They just kind of promote that overall well-being and health, especially when it comes to the brain. And then in terms of like immediate action nootropics, so things that are a little bit more fast acting and not this kind of long game, long-term kind of nootropics, such as lion's mane and fish oil and spirulina, we look at things like caffeine, for example. So yes, caffeine is a nootropic. People have been consuming coffee for a super long time with good reason. For me personally, I don't feel a massive like cognitive boost from caffeine. I actually just really enjoy the flavor of coffee. That's something that I really enjoy. So I'm not actually typically drinking coffee for the caffeine. Rather, I'm just drinking it for the flavor. I really, really enjoy the flavor and the process of making coffee. So personally, I can actually drink, decaffeinated coffee. I can drink decaf coffee. And as long as it's a high quality coffee and it tastes good, like I really don't care if it has the caffeine or not. It does not really play a role for me. But for many people, caffeine can be a stimulant and a nootropic in many ways, can help people focus and dial in. And then the other immediate action nootropic that we're going to talk about on the show, and this is the one that's going to get a lot of, maybe a lot of heat, I guess, is nicotine. Nicotine, we are going to get a little more into, but I just wanted to mention that yes, nicotine is one of those things that has a really bad stigma around it. Obviously being, you know, kind of associated with smoking, smoking tobacco, right? Obviously smoking tobacco is not good for our lung health. It's not good for our health in general. So it's something that we typically stay away from, and nicotine kind of falls under that category, but it does seem that nicotine does provide some benefit in terms of actually kicking your brain on. And trust me, I was very against nicotine for a long period of time, even as a nootropic. I just kind of box it in with tobacco and smoking, and it's bad for you, you don't need it. But it does seem that nicotine, especially not just for myself, for many people, is a very, very effective nootropic. Nicotine, when you take it, is one of the most fastest acting nootropics out there, in my opinion. I actually did consume some nicotine for this show. I specifically took it because I was recording this episode. But typically, I only consume nicotine in very small amounts and very, I wouldn't say rare, but definitely not often. Like, I probably consume nicotine 2 times a month. And that's like, there might be some times where I don't even use any nicotine for the entire month. So I'm being pretty liberal there with my usage. I don't think I've ever used nicotine more than like 3 times in a month. So I'm very selective in the times that I do use it, because I do believe that there could be some side effects and are some side effects that, you know, maybe aren't that favorable, and there is a bit of a trade-off. But when you need to get in the zone, I must say nicotine is very, very effective in doing that. So, I mean, I've had times where I've had really, really bad brain fog, like can't even piece a sentence together. I'm so like brain dead. And by just consuming even a very small amount of nicotine, you can within like 10 minutes be sharp as a tack and just ready to go. So nicotine definitely as a nootropic does appear to be effective. Now we're going to go a little bit more into that and talk about why it's effective and also maybe why nicotine could be bad and the downsides of it. But very quickly, I wanted to talk about a few things that you can do to improve your cognitive performance without having to really take anything. You have access to all of these things right here, right now. And let's say you had to, I don't know, write a paper or get ready for a big meeting or something like that, and you had no access to any of these nootropics whatsoever. No coffee, no nicotine, no any of these lion's mane or anything like that. You just literally, you had brain fog and you had to get ready for whatever it was that you were about to start working on. Well, in that case, there are multiple things that you can do. And one of the first and best ones, in my opinion, is probably going to be exercise. So exercise in general just increases our cognitive performance. And this could also simply be by, you know, getting the heart rate up and increasing the blood flow, which is in turn going to increase blood flow to the brain. And overall, it's just going to help us get into a better cognitive state. There's been many times where, you know, I have had some brain fog, or I'm just, you know, I'm really dragging on whatever it is that I'm working on. And even just getting outside for a brisk walk has been super beneficial in getting my brain to work properly and to focus better and overall just have better cognitive performance. Of course, you could also go for a couple quick sprints. You could do some push-ups, some sit-ups, some squats, and just really try to knock out some really fast-paced workouts, get that heart rate up, and ultimately get that blood pumping. These are going to be very beneficial for trying to prepare yourself and get rid of that brain fog and turn your brain on. So if you are dealing with some brain fog, one of my first things would be to do is to get a little exercise in. The second thing would be getting some meditation in. So meditation, depending on kind of what you're looking for in terms of your cognitive performance, meditation may or may not fit what you're looking for. Meditation for me personally seems to really help me get rid of the clutter in my brain. So if I'm jumping topics, I can't focus very well on one thing. I've got a lot going on. You know, I have a lot of schedules going on and I'm just thinking of a lot of different things at once. It definitely seems like taking a quick 5, maybe 10 minutes if you have the time for it, to just sit down and meditate. And the meditation can be so simple. It can literally be just you sitting down and processing your thoughts. It could be allowing your thoughts to arise and then let them go, and just kind of really gaining control of the mind and not allowing these thoughts to really run your brain. So if you're meditating and all of a sudden a thought comes up and you just start playing that thought out, and you all of a sudden find out that you're just in this thought completely, you're completely consumed by it, take a moment, take a breath, realize it, let that thought flow away, and then just get back into your meditation. And that is a win every single time you do that. You're taking power back into your own hands, and you are showing your brain essentially who is boss. So meditation really helps when I need to focus in on something and I'm just having a really hard time with my focus and keeping it dialed in on one thing. The other thing that I would use in terms of trying to defog the brain and get the brain working well would be breath work. So once again, with breath work, you can kind of take this in two different ways. You could take breath work in the kind of meditative direction where you would be trying to clear your thoughts, calm your mind, you know, be able to dial in and focus in on one thing. Or you could also do a breath work that is very activating. It'd be a fast-paced breath, and it's going to kind of wake you up. So if you're kind of having that like 2 p.m. slump, your brain is just like gone, it's on vacation mode, and you know, you're just having all this brain fog, doing some exercise paired with some fast-paced breath work, like breath of fire, which is essentially just breathing in and out through your nose very, very quickly, like just very quick breathing. You also move your belly with it as well, which it's kind of hard to explain, but on the inhale, your belly expands. On the exhale, your belly contracts, and then you would just do that very quickly. You can do 3 rounds of 50 or whatever works for you. And that's going to be very activating. It's going to turn the body on. It's going to turn the brain on and really get you into, it's going to wake you back up. It's going to get you into the mood and mode of doing some work. So breath work can also be really effective. Another thing is also trying to make sure you're drinking enough water. So I know that sounds really, really simple, but dehydration can slow down circulation and affect the flow of oxygen to your brain. So by simply just staying hydrated, you can also help to make sure that your brain is functioning at, you know, hopefully its top level. And then another thing, and this is something now we're getting into, like, you kind of have to plan for these types of nootropic exercises. But one of the big ones I use is fasting. So for me personally, I like to stay fasted if I know I have a really very, very important meeting coming up or just anything that is very important. Maybe it is writing a paper or putting together a slideshow, whatever it might be, a presentation, then I like to be fasted when I'm working on these very intense, projects that really require a lot of my attention. And the reason I like to do that is just because when I'm fasted, my mind is so much more clear. Now, if you've never fasted before, probably not going to be the best thing for you to do. You're probably going to, you know, get a little bit hungry and then you're not going to be functioning at your best form if you are not accustomed to fasting. So if you've never fasted before, this is probably not the practice for you. But if you are used to fasting, you're metabolically flexible, you're able to do a fast, it's not going to, you know, totally hack your brain and make you want to go find some food or kill somebody, then by all means, go ahead and try out this fasting. I usually do at least an 8-hour to maybe 12 or even 16-hour fast when I'm doing these big projects. And that definitely seems to help to really just keep my mind very clear and working at the, its top performance, essentially. Now, the last thing is going to be good sleep. So once again, this is not going to be an immediate thing for you, but you can really work on getting good sleep. Good sleep is by far one of the best things you can do for your brain health. It's such a, simple thing to do, really, although many people tend to get very poor sleep. But, you know, if you get a night of 4 hours of sleep and then you get a night of 8 hours of sleep, the difference is so, so noticeable. The 4-hour night of sleep, you're going to wake up, you're probably going to be grumpy, you're going to be out of it, you're going to have brain fog, your mind is not going to be working at its top level, it's going to be hard to really just focus on anything, and you're just pretty much going to be going through the motions on a day of 4 hours of sleep. Especially if you pair that 4 hours of sleep with another night of 4 hours of sleep and then another night of 4 hours of sleep and then stacking those days, it's just going to get worse and worse. Whereas if you get a full night's rest, whether that is, 6, 7, or 8 hours of rest for you, because it does depend on the person, it is person specific. But if you get a full night's rest, you know when you've slept good. I mean, I used to have an Oura ring and I would check it all the time to see how my sleep went, but honestly, there were nights where I slept so well and I didn't even need to check the Oura ring. I just knew I had slept really well. Like, your brain feels good, your body feels good. And I could check on my Oura Ring and sure enough, check and see that, yep, I did. I got a really, really good sleep, got perfect levels of all of, you know, the different types of sleep, like REM sleep and deep sleep and all that good stuff. So anyways, sleep is a huge hack for getting that cognitive performance in. Now, coming back here to the nicotine, because I wanted to not leave you guys hanging on the nicotine topic. But very quickly, I wanted to mention those exercises I just gave you are all 100% free. And honestly, before you go into using any nootropic, I would highly recommend that you focus on those things first and include in there a good diet. You have the recipe for, you know, a natural nootropic and helping your brain to just work at a really high level every single day. If you're hitting all of those different exercises, like getting some body movement in, meditation, breath work, staying hydrated, fasting, good sleep, and having a good diet, those are going to be the major pillars for honestly a lot of aspects of your health, but definitely they're also going to help out with your brain performance. So anyways, let us get back to nicotine. So I wanted to make this very well known that I am not a specialist on nicotine by any means at all. Okay. I actually, nicotine tends to have a very strong effect on me. So growing up, like I never really smoked any tobacco at all. I did smoke hookah at one point in like high school, because here in the US you can actually smoke before you can drink. So 18 is the smoking age. And yes, my friends, we would go and smoke hookah. So any nicotine that I was receiving was typically through hookah. However, when it came to cigarettes, like I've probably smoked as many cigarettes as I can count on my left hand, you know. And on that note, nicotine does have a very strong effect on me. So when consuming nicotine, I have to be very mindful in how much nicotine I am consuming. Like for example, with the blue Canateen from Troscriptions that I mentioned earlier, I take the smallest amount that I possibly can. And on top of that, I typically have to drink water with it as well. Otherwise, I will start to get a little bit of a lightheadedness and, you know, kind of that like raised blood or like a little bit of sweating. Like, yeah, nicotine essentially is very, very powerful for me. And so I have to be very careful with it. Therefore, I take very small amounts of it. And I only take it very rarely. Now, in terms of why nicotine is considered a nootropic and what are kind of the benefits of it, once again, I am not a specialist on this. I do have the website in which I am sourcing all this information from, and I am going to link that in the description. So please do your own research on this as well, because truly, I am just someone who is enjoying trying out these different nootropics and seeing how they work for myself. But from what I was reading online, it seems like nicotine does have some memory enhancing properties to it. So it does seem like it is able to improve the short-term and long-term memory. It does seem to boost the release of acetylcholine, dopamine, serotonin, and glutamate. These are neurotransmitters that play a role in alertness, attention, cognition, memory, and mood. And then brain optimization. It enhances whole brain communication efficiency, ultimately boosting overall cognitive function. So it does seem that nicotine does have a benefit for the brain in terms of its functioning. And if you've ever consumed nicotine, you probably have noticed this as well. It really does kick the brain on. Now, in terms of downsides of nicotine, the most common and obvious ones are definitely the addictiveness. So nicotine can be addictive. And for that reason, you know, if you are, for example, someone who used to smoke, maybe nicotine isn't the best idea for you to use. Maybe it's not the best nootropic. There are other things that you can use and try that are, you know, very beneficial as well. So if that's the case, nicotine might not be the one for you. If you tend to have an addictive personality, or you know, can't help but consume nicotine on a daily, then also, once again, nicotine might not be for you. We don't want to create that addiction. We want it to be something where only in the moments where we would really need it, like you have a ton of brain fog and you have a lot of work to get done or a project to work on or a meeting to get to, then you would consume the nicotine. Also, the side effects that it may have are increased heart rate, high blood pressure, gastrointestinal issues possibly, and potentially promote tumor growth. Ooh, sorry. So there are definitely some side effects. There are some downsides to it as well. There is some dose dependency. So the upregulation of nicotinic acetylcholine receptors is dose dependent. Too much nicotine can lead to receptor desensitization. And also, once again, smoking tobacco. So if you're consuming nicotine through the process of burning tobacco, of course, that is not going to be good for us. It's literally a carcinogen. It's not going to do any benefits for your lungs. It's overall going to be worse for you. So that is not the way in which we would want to consume the nicotine, if you're going to consume the nicotine at all. For me personally, once again, I really, really like the blue cannatine from Troscriptions. It has both methylene blue in it. It also has a little bit of caffeine. It has a little bit of nicotine in there. And it's also going to have a little bit of CBD in there, which is going to help. All of these things are going to help out with the brain and really work as an awesome nootropic. However, with that said, and this is where I talk about the dosing, with these blue cannatines, they come in these little squares called, I think, troches, T-R-O-C-H-E, troche. And in these troches, there's four of them in a package, and they are cut up into four smaller squares. So essentially what I do is I will take a quarter of the troche, which is a quarter of a milligram of the nicotine, which there is only 1 milligram of nicotine per troche. So I'm taking a quarter of that each time that I am consuming the blue cannatine. So I'm taking a quarter of a milligram of nicotine every time I consume the blue cannatine, which is a very, very small amount. Now, like I said, nicotine does have a strong effect on me, so I do have to lower my dosage, but nonetheless, it is a very small dose. And just to kind of put it into, a more understood perspective, about 1.2 to 1.8 milligrams enter the body for each cigarette smoked. So per troche, you have about the amount of a cigarette, probably actually less than a cigarette per troche. And then I'm consuming a quarter of the troche. And even if you consumed half of it, like, it's still much less than consuming even just one cigarette. And of course, I'm only consuming one a day, and that's only 2 times maximum a month for me. So it is in a very small amount, and I do that because I know that there can be some downsides to it, and I want to avoid those as best I can, and really only use the nicotine in blue cannatine when I truly, truly need it to kick my brain on, because it is just really, really lacking in the cognitive performance area. So it is truly just a tool that I use when I really need it. In terms of overall brain health and the constant use of nootropics, you know, I'm going to refer back to those earlier things that I was talking about, things like exercise, good sleep, meditation, breath work. And then, of course, if I'm going to take anything that's good for my brain, it's going to be things like lion's mane, spirulina, fish oil. Sometimes maybe it will be some ashwagandha. Like, there's a tons of different things that I will consume on a regular basis that are going to promote my brain health, that are going to either not have any downsides at all or very minimal downsides. So nicotine is truly just a tool that I will use to really kick the brain on. And personally, I think that's probably how it should be used. I don't think we should be overdoing it with the nicotine. And what I like about these blue cannatines is also that it turns your mouth blue because of the methylene blue. So realistically, if you're going to consume this, you don't want to walk around with a blue mouth all the time. So you do have to be a little bit more specific in the times that you take it, which I think also helps in controlling how much of it I'm consuming. So I don't want to always have a blue mouth. So anyways, that's going to kind of wrap it up for today's episode. I hope you receive some benefit from this. And if there's any major takeaways, I hope it's to understand that there are a ton of practices that you can do to make sure your brain is performing at a really, really high level that require no money at all. They simply require some time and effort, and you can start doing them right now, today. You could drop down, do some meditation, do some breath work. You could do some exercise. You could stay hydrated. You can get some good sleep, right? Like there's all these different things that we can start doing right now that are zero cost and are really going to help your brain massively, probably more than anything else. And then on top of that, we want to make sure that we are having a good diet, you know, consuming these different nootropic ingredients that are beneficial for our brain and our brain health, such as lion's mane. Lion's mane is really great for brain health, as is our fish oil, the omega-3 DHA and EPA oil, and things like spirulina and chlorella. These are also going to be really beneficial for our brain health, overall brain health. So I really want to highlight that. If you're going to do anything, I would really highly recommend that you start there and work with those, because they're probably going to have the most benefit overall. Now, if you really need it in a pinch, sure, feel free to try out nicotine if it's something that calls to you. It's something that I really contemplated for a long time before taking. And even to this day, it's something that I'm very careful with. It's not something I consume very often, and it lasts me a really long time for that reason, which is awesome. It kind of stretches the dollar there. And honestly, when I need it, it works really, really well. So anyways, I will try to link Troscriptions as well in the show notes. I am not affiliated with them. I just think they're a really great company. They have really high quality products. And yeah, I personally feel very comfortable using them and promoting them. So yeah, feel free to check them out. Like I said, once again, zero monetary ties to them or anything like that. Just a really great company. So all right, that is going to do it for today. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. And once again, please reach out to me if you want to hear or see or, you know, experience anything more from this show in the future. I would love to hear your feedback. So please go ahead and reach out to me at ElementalEvan on Instagram. You can find us on YouTube as well. I'll be working on putting more of these episodes in the show format or the video format as well up on YouTube, so you can see it there. And if you haven't already, please go ahead and subscribe to whatever platform you're listening, subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform it is that you're listening to this on, and leave a nice little review there for us if you would be so kind. It goes a far way to help people find this podcast. And also, please share this episode with someone who could benefit from hearing it as well, someone who needs to kick that brain on. Who doesn't want a better performing brain? Probably everyone wants one. So anyways, all right, I hope you all have a beautiful rest of your day. Please, you already know the motto of the show. Do everything with good intentions and connect to your elements. Much love to all of you. Thank you for tuning in. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Peace. This podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. Evan Roberts is not a medical professional, and this podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. Statements and views expressed on this show are not medical advice. This podcast, including Evan Roberts and any guests on the show, disclaims responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained in this episode. If you think you have a medical problem, please consult a medical professional.